Despite writing dozens of Broadway musicals, you could never accuse Stephen Sondheim of falling back on the same tired formulas. His shows range from the nearly operatic West Side Story to lighthearted offerings like A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, and shows with risky themes like Assassins, his musical exploration of presidential killers. At age 86, Sondheim is still at work at his music. In fact, says Sondheim biographer Robert McLaughlin, the composer is currently working on a new show.
It's hard to stop writing when that's what you've done your whole life. In a lot of his interviews lately, he's talked about how hard it is to get old, how long it takes him to walk up the stairs and all of this sort of thing. And he says, I wish I could retire, but I just can't. I have to keep writing. There are all these projects that keep speaking to me. So,
what's the new musical about?
The new musical is tentatively titled All Together Now. And he's writing it with David Ives, and it's based on two films by Luis Buñuel. The first is The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie, which is about a group of people who are trying to go out to dinner, but something always happens to keep them from getting there. And then the other one is The Exterminating Angel, which is about a group of people who've just had dinner, and then for some reason none of them can bring themselves to leave the room that they're in. So the first act will be the one, the second act will be the other.
It sounds like a bit of a mashup.
It does. It's like a lot of his shows. You when you hear what it's supposed to be about, you say, how can anybody write a musical about that? But then, you know, he does. He pulls it off.
What is it that got you interested in Stephen Sondheim to begin with?
Oh, my goodness. That's a long story. I grew up in a very, 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 very small town in upstate New York. And my best friend's mother took the two of us to see the national tour of the musical 1776, and I just fell in love.
Was not written by Sondheim.
Oh, no, not written by Sondheim. Peter Stone and Sherman Edwards did a great job with it. And so I started going to our little library and taking out the cast recordings. And one day I saw the cast recording of Company there.
Strings, good times, room hums, company. Late nights, quick bites, party games, deep talks, long walks, telephone calls.
And I noticed it was music and lyrics by Stephen Sondheim. And so I knew his name from West Side Story. So I said, I haven't heard of the show, but I'll take it out and listen to it. And when I put that record on, and just it started with all these voices overlapping and calling out to the main character, Robert, I'd never heard anything like that. It was one of those moments where your heart just goes, So, yes, and I was hooked from then on.
I heard a very touching story about Sondheim himself telling it on the Broadway channel on Sirius Radio, where his father was a sort of amateur piano player and would take Sondheim's fingers on his own fingers and teach him a little bit about the keys and how to play a melody.
Oh, yeah. So I mean, he was quite close to his father. After he got out of college and he was trying to make his way on Broadway, he was living in his father's apartment, sleeping on the couch. When he had his first big opportunity to do lyrics for West Side Story, his father took care of all the business end of that for him so he wouldn't have to worry about it. He and his mother were both in the fashion industry in New York. They had a very acrimonious breakup when Sondheim was like 12 or 13, and he ended up, the father went with a new wife to Connecticut, and Sondheim ended up living with his mother, and his mother was probably mentally troubled. I think she resented having married his father in the first place, giving up kind of aspects of her career. She resented that she was kind of stuck with this kid instead of being free, and she took out a lot of this on young Steve.
And it may not be accidental, then, that Sondheim is known for his writing about relationships. Company is all about relationships and nothing but.
There are a lot of overpowering women in his music. Mama Rose and Gypsy and Joanne and Company. And yeah, there's a story, it's just awful. His mother at one point was having a pacemaker put in, and she wrote a letter and gave it to him. He's a grown man by this time. And says, I want you to read this while I'm having my heart surgery. And when he opened up the letter, it said, my only regret in life is having given birth to you.
Oh, my gosh. What a letter to receive from a parent.
Yes. And the guilt he felt and the rejection, it was devastating for him. Sure.
And you do see that in the lyrics that he writes, that sort of ambiguity about, can one ever know another human being? Can one ever truly be loved?
Mm-hmm. I think part of it is he's tapping into the kind of culture we live in, where company is a good example, where we're so busy all the time, and there are television shows, and there are, you know, phone messages, and there's so much to do, that do we ever really have the chance to let another person's story become part of our story? And I think he feels we need to do that, but there's so much in the culture that works against it.
Someone to hold you too close. Someone to hurt you too deep. Someone to sit in your chair to ruin your sleep.
You talk about him in the reinvention of the American musical, and something that I found interesting in my reading about Sondheim is how young he was when he began writing plays.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was practically a preteen.
Right.
And he's writing musicals. Where did that come from?
This goes back to his troubled relationship with his mother. They were living in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and he made friends with Jimmy Hammerstein, who was son of Oscar Hammerstein. Mm. And Sondheim kind of became part of that household, almost like another son to Hammerstein. And he has frequently said that if Oscar Hammerstein had been a geologist, I would have been a geologist. But as it happened, he wrote musicals. And so that's why he wanted to do what he did, and that's why he started at such a young age. Again, there's a story he tells about when he was 14. He wrote a school musical for the high school he was in, and he thought it was wonderful. The audiences loved it, and so he gave it to Oscar to read. And
what a courageous kid to do that.
That's right. And Oscar says, do you want me to treat this as if a stranger gave it to me? He says, yes. He says, okay, come back tomorrow. And you know, he went away with visions of being the first 14-year-old produced on Broadway. Came back the next day, Oscar says, this is the worst thing I've ever read. And then he sat down with him starting on page one and went through the whole thing explaining why it was bad and how it could be better. And then started giving him tasks of like, well, write a musical based on a play that you really admire. Now write a musical based on a play that you think is flawed. Write a musical based on something that isn't a play. And now write a musical that's entirely original. And Sondheim, that was basically his tutorial, how he learned to write musicals.
What an amazing opportunity that must have been, though, for that young boy. We're talking with Professor Robert McLaughlin of ISU. He has a new book out on Stephen Sondheim. Would you say that Sondheim's early musicals imitated the Rodgers and Hammerstein model of musicals? He later departed greatly from that type of narrative musical, traditional musical. But in the beginning, what would you say were his influences?
He was very much influenced by Oscar Hammerstein. In fact, at one point, Hammerstein critiqued him, saying, you're trying too hard to sound like me. You have to learn to sound like yourself. And yeah, his early musicals, all of which were unproduced, well, one had a college production, but otherwise they were unproduced, I think in many ways were very safely within the kinds of musicals that Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote. His first chance to get a show on Broadway was when he was asked to write lyrics with Leonard Bernstein for West Side Story. And he didn't want to write just lyrics. He wanted to write music. And Hammerstein said to him, you know, this is a great opportunity. These are good people you're going to be working with. You'll learn a lot. So he decided to do it. You know, Bernstein's theory was, if you're going to fail, fail big. Do something spectacular. And that was where he got his courage to be avant-garde.
What would you say will be Sondheim's lasting legacy? Is he just always going to be in a category of himself, or has he spawned imitations in his own right?
Yeah, I think the Sondheim has set the bar very high for people who come after him. He's hard to match in terms of his, just the quality of his output, the craftsmanship, what he can do with a song. My friend and teacher, Larry Stemple, who wrote a very great history of the musical theater called Showtime a couple years ago, he argues that Sondheim is actually not that an important an influence because his shows have never been monetarily successful. He says if you look at the history of Broadway, the shows that are influential are the ones that are big hits, and he's never really had a big hit. Or let's say the musical theater has kind of split into two directions. On the one hand, you have the kinds of shows that have the potential to be blockbusters, the Disney shows or the adaptations of movies, the sorts of things that fill Broadway now. And then you have kind of the more, you know, the shows that are more interested in the musical theater as kind of an art form. And they almost all start at off-Broadway theaters, and if they're successful, they'll move to Broadway, like Hamilton, like Fun Home.
You're mentioning Fun Home, the 2015 Tony winner, and Hamilton, the 2016 Tony winner.
Exactly. And I think that Sondheim's influence is kind of in that second strain. People inspired by Sondheim are willing to look at subjects that might seem off bounds, but if they can see ways that they could be made to sing, they're willing to pursue them. And then just the kind of the sophistication of the score. These are all things that Sondheim has inspired, I think, another generation or two after him to pursue.
We've been talking with Professor Robert McLaughlin of Illinois State University's English Department. He is the author of a new biography called Stephen Sondheim, Reinventing the American Musical. Thanks so much for coming in and talking with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm Judy Valente.